Does anyone have a piece of plywood and a propane tank? That was the text. It came from Kylie Watman, and it was sent out to a few of us. A tank of propane and plywood. It was January, so not likely that they were grilling, and why plywood to go with your burger, even if you were grilling? So likely Asia or Dante, her high school age children, had a project that they were working on. The house across the street from me is being gutted, and there's free wood on the side of the road. But I was still in my jammies, so I wasn't quite ready to go over and look. So I texted back that I would go check in just a bit. I needed ASAP, she said. It was early on a school holiday, so high school kids aren't doing their projects yet because they still had hours to put them off. ASAP? Plywood and a propane tank ASAP. Whatever for. Well, it turns out I was way off the mark. It wasn't for a school project. It was for a friend of hers who is homeless, who lives in the woods and had been robbed. The tank she had used for heat inside her tent and the plywood that she had used for insulation from the cold ground had been taken. Her friend shared her need, and Kylie sought to respond. The exact timing and the items of request didn't work out, but there were other needs. And so later that day, I got to walk with Kylie to deliver food for eating, newspapers for insulating, and candles for light. I got to meet her friend and got to walk home with her face and campsite etched in my heart. She isn't a statistic or a nameless, struggling person anymore. We shook hands, we spoke, we heard of some of her plans and struggles, and we left. It was getting toward dusk, and it was really cold. And I headed to the protection and warmth of my house, where there is a fridge full of food, a sturdy roof, and a tea kettle ready for hot drinks. Since that time, Kylie has initiated conversations with me about attention and care for people that are homeless. And that conversation has left me challenged and uncomfortable because I don't have answers and it isn't neatly resolved. I got to respond and support a particular request, but her friend is still living in the cold. Kylie saw an immediate need and reached out to address it, but she didn't stop there. She's gone on to ask questions about why, how, what can be done to address the bigger systemic issues, and those are so much harder questions. And taking them seriously involves digging deep into so much. It involves disrupting the accepted ways of things being. It makes waves. And in my family of origin, making waves is about as bad as it gets. You just don't do it. You just don't. But having had that conversation, I didn't have any trouble connecting with the Pharisees' reactions to Jesus and making waves in our sacred story this morning. The Pharisees are faithful and committed Jews. They love God and they seek to follow the ways of God. They've inherited a way of being and laws and rules for daily life. And these laws and rules keep things in order. They have been developed as a way for life and faith. They cover all sorts of things, many of which just seem peculiar to us today. Because our day-to-day living is so much different from theirs. And most people who decide to read the Bible from front to back find they get bogged down really early on when they get to Leviticus with its details and many legal definitions and restrictions. But all those legalisms were not baffling in Jesus' day. They addressed very real challenges and life issues for them.
And they offered ways to stay faithful and grounded in God. They were developed to be about life, hope, God, community. And they were what you did. Period. Adherence to them was part of being faithful. There wasn't room for debate. And then along comes Jesus. Ready and committed to being faithful, taking very seriously his Jewish tradition and teachings, grounded in God and open to God, responding to God, committing his entire being to making God's love real, bringing life and healing to all, and in particular to those who have the most needs. Along comes Jesus, who is hope in flesh. Jesus who sees the beauty and fragility of creation. Jesus who experienced limits, oppression, disapproval. Jesus who encounters disdain and rejection, but doesn't back down. Along comes Jesus, who hasn't bought into the McPherson family gospel of don't make waves. He is on the road with his earliest followers, and they are filled with the Spirit. Healing is happening. Needs are present. Needs like hunger in his followers, and a man with a withered hand. Jesus addresses the needs as they come, even when that means doing something on the Sabbath, which is restricted in the law. It's not that Jesus doesn't know the law, he knows it. Jesus knows the legalism and the system, and he sees that in this case, the legalism and the system are getting in the way of fullness of life. And he chooses fullness of life even though he knows his actions violate the laws for Sabbath. He challenges the law. He challenges it not as an anarchist, but as a faithful person who sees that legalism and literalism are blocking the very life and love that the law is seeking to enable. His actions are prayer-based and God-centered. His actions, though, are against the rules. They are life-giving and enabling, but they are against the rules. And when the Pharisees confront him, he tells them that very truth. He makes waves. He doesn't sneak around and try to hide his actions for life. He doesn't do what is life-giving and then try to make nice with the Pharisees. He dares to speak back and to try and teach them. He speaks against the system in order to help all have life and life abundant. He is bold. There are many ways he could have done his ministry and not raised the ire of those in power. He could have backpedaled. He could have made excuses and danced around the accusations. He could have stepped aside and waited for someone else to take the lead. He had a lot of options. But the choice he made was to love boldly and radically, to speak the truth in love. And when forced to choose between legal and life, choose life. This means he chose to make waves rather than letting anything squelch the transforming, life-giving way of God. And this means that we, who are his hands and feet active in the world today, are also called to make waves rather than let anything squelch the transforming, life-giving way of God. Making waves? Really, Jesus? Waves can make us nauseous. Waves can splash and get water in places it doesn't belong. Waves can tip boats over. They disrupt. And following you will lead us to make waves. And making waves is a way to make life, to pay attention, to ask questions, to put ourselves into unresolved places of tension. Making waves. That is what we are called to do and enabled to do as followers of Jesus. to look at and experience the circumstances and conditions around us and respond in ways that bring life, even when those ways push us to ask hard questions, live in uncertainty, and bump up against tradition or laws. To make waves not with an aim to be destructive, but to bring life. To take action and speak words that disrupt what is stagnant or life-limiting in order to bring life, wholeness, inclusion, healing, compassion. To dare and disrupt the calm, believing that with the churning of the waters and the active presence of God, the waves will roll, shift, collide, and reshape into far-reaching waves of justice and peace for all of God's creation. Wave makers. That's what we're called to be as followers of Jesus. We are invited to make waves in order for God's love to be more real. To ask hard questions without easy answers. To be unsettled by the reality of homelessness in our communities. To be challenged by American children fearful that their mom or dad or mom and dad could be deported. To be pained by the reality that working parents working one or two jobs still can't make ends meet. To not accept the status quo, but to ask tough questions and dare to believe and work toward justice for the common good. We get to do that. Each of us. All of us. This is life-giving, and it's really, really challenging. It isn't, I don't think, just the McPherson household that has discouraged making waves. It's also been the plea of the church. Waves might make some uncomfortable. Waves might make visible different perspectives. My personal passions may be in deep opposition to yours. And my earliest training and fear-based response would tell me, don't talk about it. My effort to be a disciple and live grounded in love invites me to trust that we can loose the energy, the different opinions into our common life together and become more loving, more caring, more compassionate, joining with each other in building rafts to hold all who are being bounced around in the churning waters of life. That is what the church has been done in her shining times of history. She has been a community of difference bound together in God's love, acting for the heal and care of the most vulnerable. I want to join my spirit with other people of faith and be about creating the kind of world that Jesus envisioned. Trusting and opening to God, connecting through our differences, we can build a future, and we can say, we're going to make it after all.